Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
Hard-edged, hard-nosed, hard to beat.
Where are you coming from in this one?
Your 100% essential download.
Jim White and Simon Jordan.
You let this get out of control.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
Thanks for listening to Outspoken with White and Jordan. I'm Jim White, and today myself, Simon and Graham Souness discuss England's defeat to Brazil at Wembley. Do the Three Lions lack a fear factor? And have those on the fringes of Gareth Southgate's squad failed their audition? And following the furore of flag gates and all the controversy that went with it last week, have Nike actually played a blinder? This is Outspoken with White and Jordan.
Welcome to the Coliseum of Confrontation.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
And it's bundled over the line by Endrick. The 17-year-old gives Brazil the lead. It's England 0, Brazil 1.
We're starting with England because 3 months out from the Euros, England taste defeat for the first time at Wembley in 21 games. 1-0, they lost to Brazil. Gareth, post-match, predictably upbeatish.
We've had more than our share of the game. We've had as many attempts as they have had. Of course, with players in the attacking areas that they have, they're going to have those moments where they create something special. But we had similar moments, really, at the other end. And we'd seen a lot of players either for the first time or very little England experience. So I was really pleased with some of those individual performances. In the context of what are we trying to learn, what are we trying to improve upon for the summer, we take a lot from the game, of course. When you lose, then there's always going to be negativity. But I've got to look, you know, at the bigger picture.
So he's looking at the bigger picture. So, Graham, let's get into it from a footballing sense. One thing I always remember, amongst many things you told me about Liverpool, that when you stood in the tunnel, the opposition knew you were there. You know, like, you wouldn't hold back. We are Liverpool. It's up to you to do your best against us. Does this England team lack a fear factor? Albeit they've got quality in various areas of the pitch, but are they feared enough by their opponent?
Yeah, I think they are. I think a lot of that stems from the Premier League. You know, people look at the Premier League and see it as such a strong league. Everyone wants to say, everyone, if you can't get to Barcelona, Real Madrid or Bayern Munich, you want to be playing in England, one of the big teams here. I think there is a fear factor. You know, you emphasise the point, first defeat in 21 games. You know, England have been impressive. Have they been...
The numbers would tell you. Does this England team ever win a game in the tunnel? You know, just by getting off to, we are England.
No one wins a game in the tunnel. You give an aura off in the tunnel that, you know, okay, then bring it on. Whatever you're going to do, we're going to match it and be better than you. I think England's criticism, and where I would criticise them, I mean, you have to say, and I've already said this and I've gone on record, I'll say it again, happy to say it again, I think they will win the Euros with the proviso they can keep their best players fit. I think Harry Kane was an enormous loss, Saka a loss. But at the weekend, on Saturday night, I sat and watched the game. They were completely toothless. In Italian, they call it sense of fantasia. There was nothing smart or cute about the football going forward. The best chances were from free kicks and corner kicks. And they were average in the last third. I can only remember, saying they had three shots, I can only ever remember the goalkeeper late in the second half, the Brazilian goalkeeper making a parried save from the West Ham player cutting in from the left-hand side. They didn't pepper, they had 53% of the ball, didn't make the goalkeeper work enough, no clever and cute football in the last third, and they were, but they're solid, you know, they're a big, strong team. You know, they lose their right back, Man City right back.
Kyle Walker, yeah.
Who's just fantastic defensively, the best out there defensively. Does he give them anything going forward? Not great in that, so that wasn't the reason. Saka not being there, he on a good day would give you a lot. Foden on a good day would give you a lot. He didn't give him anything the other night.
So if they're toothless at the end of March, what are they going to be persuade you that they'll win it?
No, but they can win
a couple of months.
They're a team that you wouldn't enjoy playing against, you know, because they work in midfield. They're solid. Declan Rice is solid. But there's no real cuteness to his play. I thought Bellingham was ordinary. You know, he's getting fouled by, and I have to say, going to the ground rather easily for a guy that, when I was doing the Scotland-England game and I was standing next to him, he is a giant. He would take some knocking over. But Paqueta was putting on his backside on a regular basis, who should have been sent off. I take that. How high he got away with it. Obviously, because it was just a friendly, the referee thought it didn't. If you're playing against them,
so they're solid. And
they're solid and get the job done, but they're not. I come back to what I've always advocated for, and they're talking about Manu. What Manu's a boy, and he's not that flair player that plays up in the last third like Maddison. I'm a great advocate for getting Maddison into the team. You know, he's a cute and clever player. His stats, in terms of attacking, are better than any other midfield player. England are, without Harry Kane, looked pretty toothless the other night.
Toothless, but solid, Simon. Is that where you're at with them?
Well, I think it doesn't really matter, quite frankly, because if you ask how England get on, ask them when they went to Italy and beat Italy in Italy 2-1 and then beat Italy at Wembley 3-1. Look at the qualifying group. Look when it matters. This is an exhibition game. This is a friendly. Fans are paying top money to see the England team win. We saw them the summer.
Simon, I've said this even when they're winning games. If you're looking to win a tournament, be proactive. Don't go into a game thinking, let's see how the first half hour goes with two holding midfield.
But the question of that, because I was going to lead me into a question to you. Where do you attribute the responsibility, the players on the field or the manager? Because it's always been my observation. It was the same observation about Roy Hodgson, as we have a reactive mentality. We just wait and see what's going to happen to us, and then we'll react to it. We did it in a French game in the World Cup when we suddenly woke up to the fact that the French weren't all that, and we'd have a go at them. So where do you, if Jim is characterising the question as this fear factor, where does that come from? Does it come from the manager imposing upon the players that we take it to the opposition and we stick it on them from the get-go? Or does it come from the players on the field being cloth-eared and not being prepared to do what they've been told before they walk out of the dressing room?
Types of player playing. I think...
So it's the manager then?
I've said that. I think going against... You know, since the breakup of the USSR, you play so many bang average teams from... Since the breakup of Yugoslavia, so many... Poor teams.
Well, I don't know. Croatians are not a bad side, are they?
Yeah, Herzegovina and Macedonia, really.
Agreed.
Population of about, what is that, 1.5 million people?
Serbia and Croatia are still pretty tough.
Yeah, no, so it's two out of, what, about six?
Mm. He's on one this morning, you can sense.
No, these are facts. So I think England are that good. They should say, from the first minute we're going to take you on, we're going to outgun you. Instead, I think the approach is, let's see where the first half hour goes, We'll be cautious. We'll play with two. It was Phillips and Declan Rice. You're talking about this calls from Manu, who's a boy of 18, another holding type midfield player.
Yeah.
You've got to get someone who can get on half turn.
Because you're judging them upon their domestic performances.
England are very good.
Now let me ask the question. Are they these players that you perceive to be that good, that they can form an England team that can be that good? Are you basing that upon their domestic performances, where there's an absolute litany of top quality foreign players working alongside them in a team unit that makes them look better than they are, with the exception of Bellingham, who I think would be a world-class player in most people's view, or on the journey towards
he's a young man who's got the potential
on the journey
to
it. Yeah. So are you judging them by perhaps a false set of standards, because they're playing in unique football teams, Liverpool teams, Manchester City teams, that are dominating football, that have a variety of brilliant foreign players around them that are enhancing their
Madison
performances?
Madison had the best stats at Leicester, I believe.
I
just think England are that good in so many areas. And I said this, I think, second sentence. I think England will win the Euros, providing you go there with all your best players fit and firing. Best players, two outstanding.
Wasn't that the same in any side, in international side?
Outstanding one would be Kane and then Bellingham.
So where's the problem?
So I don't think Bellingham had a particularly good game the other night, and Harry wasn't there.
You're comfortable. Graham thinks he'll win it. But I think, all things going for them, do you think they'll win it?
I think they should win it.
Yeah.
I think should and could are two different things. And ultimately, the decision for me is, I mean, I was listening to Sky Sports this morning after I woke from my slumber for the first half an hour of their drivel, and seeing some interesting facts coming through about the substitutions that were made by Southgate. In most of the international games, he never makes the first substitution, never changes the direction of travel, never looks at things and goes, right, OK, we need to do this to be able to deal with the situation, or this to take it away from the opposition. So I think it will come down to who we draw. We've got a great qualifying group, as we often have, so we should stroll through that in the same way we stroll through the qualifying group to get there in the first place. And then if we draw a French side, it'll then come down to the psychological approach and what the manager's prepared to do at key times in the game.
I'm amongst football people, right? It's a combination of England being so strong at this time and Italy, Spain, Germany. Normally, we could sit here and name five players from those three countries who are superstars. I can't tell you two Germans that were...
So we're the best of a bad bunch.
England are particularly strong. See, England are really, really... As I said already, it'd be a hard team to play against because they work you so hard, make you make passes you don't want to make, give up few chances, but they didn't sparkle the other night. You know, it's a friendly, is that not, you're talking about it's an attempt to experiment playing young players, seeing what they can do. Is that not an attempt to experiment playing without two holding midfield players?
Sure,
all the
maybe
time?
There is a lack of an aura around them. Graeme, you've made many good points and many people reacting to the points you've made. Let's put it out there. We'll go early this morning. Let's take some calls. Are you any more convinced or less convinced about England with the Euros now weeks away? What did that match against Brazil at Wembley on Saturday night tell you about where England are, albeit Kane, Saka, Shaw all out injured, but Conor Gallagher, Ollie Watkins, Jared Bowen, Anthony Gordon all entered the frame. Where are you now with England? Toothless but solid, is that fair?
Download, stand well back, listen.
Outspoken with White and Jordan. From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
Yeah, I'm seeing all the messages, don't worry. It's Jim White, Simon, Jordan, Graeme, Souness. The messages are coming in. White and Souness, should you not be more worried about where Scotland are at the moment? Never mind talking about England.
I've just said they're going to win the tournament.
He just praised them.
We will get to that. Of course, we're not going to ignore the fact, and like me, Graeme, you probably watched every ball that was kicked over in Amsterdam the other night. Scotland lost to the Netherlands 4-0. Yep. Last six, it's been not good. To be fair, but we will get round to talking about Scotland, but we're talking about England because England are so highly fancied to go and win the
and
Euros
we're sitting in
London
and
we're sitting in London, Mr. Souness, and you played your almost your entire
and
career
English football
in English football
to me.
So there we go, that's why we're talking about England, that's why we're talking about where are England now weeks away from Germany. Where are they now? Are they really toothless but solid? Where are they now? Are you more or less convinced about England's chances going into the Euros? There's Paul in Mersey Island. Where is Mersey Island? I don't know. Mersey Island, I do beg you. Essex, I'm told. England have the best talent I think I've seen for many years, but it's up to us to change it a bit. Southgate needs to start the guys who are fit come the time. Kane, Grealish, Saka, all these guys can win his games. Rice, Foden in midfield, that'll win us the Euros. James, big Liverpool fan, you're talking to your former captain of Liverpool, your former manager Graeme Souness in studio with us. James, what do you think about where England are this Monday morning? Good morning.
Good morning. To be honest with you, I agree with Graeme's point. I think Southgate's just got to let the players play. Because if you look at the best players in the forward line, you've got, say, Harry Kane, Saka, Phil Foden, and then you've got Jude Bellingham, Declan Rice, not to mention a few others. You could even mention James Maddison. Look at all what their club teams are doing. All their club teams are pressing, playing high-intensity football from the front. And we're going into games with England. And as you're saying, we're waiting for half an hour to see what the other team are doing. I just don't understand why he doesn't take the shackles off and just let them go and play. Because obviously you can see why the game's a lopsided, because he's not letting them do what they're doing for the clubs. And it's only going to go one way.
And what is that way, James?
We're just going to look at the France game. You're going to struggle in games. You're not proactive. So obviously when a team goes score a goal and you ask them to react, and it's not the way these players are playing for the club.
So James, when it comes to beating the teams you're expected to beat, you beat them. When it comes to beating teams who are up there, who might be rivals to England, do you still have your doubts?
Definitely, yeah. Because Graeme said before that there's not like there's not too many good, there's not too many good teams. You can't really compete with them. But mate, I think a lot of people are forgetting. Like, have you seen Portugal squad? Have you seen the players Portugal have got? Bernardo Silva, Bruno Fernandes, Rafael Leão, Diogo Jota, João Felix, not to mention Cristiano Ronaldo, the Germans, Florian Wirtz, Jamal Musiala.
You've got a list beside you there, James, haven't you? You must have. Brilliant call, James. Really appreciate it. Ben's another big England fan. Before we come to Graham and Simon, Ben, what's your take on it?
Exactly. My point is exactly what the gents just said there before. We've got all the attacking players available to us. We end up playing with two defensive midfielders. There's only one fit for purpose. Declan Rice is the only good holding midfielder England have. Jordan Henderson's playing in a pub league. Calvin Phillips is nowhere near hit the heights everyone thought he was. And Trent is a right-back converted to a holding midfielder. But he's no good defensively. He's a great passer of the ball.
Ben, where do you stand on this? Martin Samuel in the Times this morning. Kobbie Mainoo has got to start against Belgium. Mainoo replaced Gallagher after 75 minutes. He says England must find a reliable partner to Rice before June. Mainoo fits that bill.
Great player. But again, have we seen enough of him? I think we should only play one holding midfielder. So like the gent said before, you've got the likes of Grealish, Madison, Saka, Bellingham.
Yeah.
Let them play.
OK, Ben. Mark, you're a Leeds fan, and I'm going to squeeze you in before Graham and Simon. What do you want to say, Mark? Good morning.
Yeah, it's just really to echo what the other callers have said. I just don't understand his insistence on playing two holding midfielders. We've got some of the best attacking players in the world. Let them play. The best form of defence is attack. And if their players are too busy trying to defend our players, they're not going to get further up the field.
What a good call. Mark, thank you for that. We get the drift, don't we?
Yeah, see, England are that good. They are that good. I just think, let them off the lead. They'll have most of the ball. They're 53% of the ball against a team that was good at keeping the ball, Brazil. England are that strong right now. They should fear no one. And Gareth, you know, when I look at a football match, the first thing I focus on is a central midfield player. I'm sure Gareth looks at football team and looks at centre-halves. And I think his teams play with a centre-halves mindset. You know, let's not give nothing away. Let's see where the game goes. When you've got that group, and I come back to it, you touched on it earlier, the second half against France, when they've started in a fearful way, but they started in a negative way, and then the second half, the game's gone away from, okay, now let's go for it. Out-footballed, out-run, out-fought, outgun France in that second half. If you know, it's like a boxing analogy. Does a boxer ever start slowly? So let's, you know, I'll give him the advantage of the first few rounds. No. In the last words you hear when...
They have a look, don't they? A lot of them have a look.
Yeah, they have a look if they're not... Yeah. But they don't take a pounding. You know, you don't go on the back foot and say, come on and see, show us how good you are.
But many people used to praise Mourinho's outlook.
There's more than one way to win a game, Jim.
And make sure you don't lose.
England have been doing that, but I just think he's got that good a group of players, plus the weakness that the big teams in Europe have right now.
Take advantage of it. I don't personally think you win things in life by hedging. I think somewhere along the line you have to go out and go after something, and there'll be times to do it and times not to do it. I don't worry about this Brazilian game, and I don't worry about the qualifying games. I worry about when it comes to being brave and we have to change the direction of travel, not when we're suffering adversity, not when there's a situation where we have to recover from something, when we are trying to take something away from the opposition from the get-go. And I don't know whether it's because there's a lack of domestic management career behind Gareth, that he only manages international football once every 2 or 3 months, or there's a mindset of a centre-half that's predominantly set there with safety first, or there's a fundamental ideological belief that that's the way he wants to play and sod everybody else. But if your opposition is stronger than you, then you regroup and you deal with it a different way. If you're stronger than the opposition, then you land it on them and you let them worry about you, not the other way around. And it feels like the psychological approach from our setup. And I also want to ask Graham the contribution of players, because how many players go out onto a pitch and follow the instructions word for word of a manager and don't take some responsibility themselves and go, I tell you what, I'm going to be brave.
It's a great point, that, actually, Simon. We'll come to you after the break on that. Graham, many people coming with you this morning with the discussion you've opened up regarding England and how they're going about it at the moment. I don't know what you think of this. The best holding player England has, apart from Declan Rice, is John Stones. He does it for City. Would you not pop him in there? Many people getting in touch on this England situation at the moment with the clock ticking towards Germany.
Welcome to the Coliseum of Confrontation. Outspoken with White and Jordan.
You think they're proactive against lesser sides?
No, they still start too cautious. The two holding players.
Against the lesser
side.
What
am I basing that on, Simon? What, I tell you what I'm basing on. I played in a team that dominated European football and dominated the domestic scene.
Domestic, yeah.
And we had one holding midfield player.
Yeah.
And the rest of them, the rest of my midfield colleagues and the strikers are going to win us the game.
But I'm asking you a question. Do you think they're proactive? Were they proactive against your Scots?
When
you
yeah.
Were, you, right, okay. Yeah, but, so are they proactive against lesser sides?
They still went with two holding midfield players.
But are they proactive as a unit? Put aside the two holding midfield player thing to one moment, right, and say, are they as a side, as a unit, are they proactive against the lesser sides?
Yeah, but it could be even more so.
So psychologically, when they play the better sides, which is the thing that I've always accused Southgate of coming up short, every time we've come up against somebody that we possibly might not beat, we don't beat them, right? Mm. So it's a psychological approach set up by the coach. The coach goes into these bigger games with bigger oppositions and goes,
some of that
wow,
psychology
the
could be coming from the players direct. Some of that could be coming from the players direct. You know,
well, that was my question.
Brazil is a big name in world football.
Yeah, but they're not the used to be.
No, they're not. But yeah. That can still, that you know, these young men will.
But you just said people
football.
Don't get beat before they go on the pitch.
No, they don't. Brazil, how many times you play
make
Brazil?
Make your mind up then.
No, it's a fact. People,
so why would you be fearful of them?
People playing Brazil, you don't play Brazil every week. There's maybe Brazil, Argentina could do that to any current player in the Premier League. Brazil and Argentina are very special footballing
countries.
Have you
seen Brazil's recent run of
form? They've not been good. That was the first game in six, wasn't it, or four?
Totally. And they've been beaten by sides
that
you would
not
even call
anywhere near England.
That's
why
the England
magic
fans turned out and the numbers they turned out on Saturday night, Graham, thinking they were going to see England beat Brazil. I wonder if we're being a bit unkind to Southgate.
Why am I defending England here?
Well, you're not. No, you're saying potentially they can do it. Neil and Waltham Abbey. Gareth only picks players who will do exactly what he wants. No interpretation, no improvisation, no mavericks, and certainly no Cavaliers. He calls it trust. Now, Faker Others had an interesting interview pre the Brazil match. Adrian Durham's drawn it to my attention, and it stands out to me that we should mention this. This was with John Stones. Do you feel that we could see with England, so many players can play in different positions for their clubs, so do we have a versatility we didn't have before? Yes, definitely, said Stones. I think Gareth and Steve Holland very open to new ideas. I know they're watching everyone's games in different systems, and they're always very open to our ideas and every aspect of them: set pieces, goal kicks, build up play, defensive third, everything. So in other words,
The players have a say.
They have a say.
That's a modern football. The players do have a say.
And yet, we still look at England as if they've got the handbrake on now and again not going out and playing the way that you and others think they should.
This is a really strong group of players who had a bad 90 minutes on Saturday night. And a team that I think turned up for the Euros as favourites. And we're sitting here making a... We're going to talk for an hour about
And you're
England.
Right to say that, Graham. And here's the thing that everyone will react to. Croatian semi-final in 2018, European Championship final against the Italians, and an opportunity against the French. And if we play this...
And
those moments come again, and we don't pivot and don't do anything different, then we'll come up against the French and we'll get done
that
again.
That's my observation. I think that was a little window into the future. If in the Euros they come up against the better teams who are in form and playing well, that'll be their attitude again. Two holding midfield players. Let's try and nick the game.
So we've learned nothing then.
Yeah, let's try and win the game with a set piece, because that was the only way they looked like scoring a goal the other night against Brazil.
So rather than roll through a tournament, because as you say, you've got the best team potentially, you're the favourites going into this tournament, embrace the pressure, get on your front foot. What we'll do is we'll nick it.
I wouldn't have any manager, and it never happened to me in my time at Liverpool, say, this team's a really good team we're playing. We'll have to be cautious today. You know, the most it was said to me, and you got to remember, you know, when I played, there wasn't the coverage on television. We were going into big European games, not really knowing who you were playing against.
Yeah.
Didn't know their strengths and weaknesses. Joel Fagan would say to me, 10 minutes before the kickoff, now, son, you'll have a good look tonight, won't you? And what he meant by that was, just stay there, just support everything. Never go in front of the ball. Just see where the game is going before you start to maybe chase it. And that was as much detail as I went into. Now, son, you'll have a good look tonight. That was all he
said.
But
isn't that the same thing to some extent what Southgate is saying
to
his opposition?
I was only holding midfield player. I come back to England are that good. In my opinion, they don't need two holding midfield players.
Yeah. A lot of people reacting to what you're saying, Graham, and I see a lot of questions for you through me that they want me to put to you. Conor Gallagher in an England shirt. Does he start for you in Germany?
No, not when everyone's fit. No.
No.
Not for me. He's got a bit of stick. He gave the ball away without being under any great pressure the other night. He's a very enthusiastic player, a wonderful athlete. He looks to have a great appetite for the game. And I think we've all had nights like that. the left fullback Chilwell. He is. They're judging him.
Yeah.
The commentators are judging him on two flunked shots on the Brazil goal. So he's had a stinker, according to them. He didn't. The rest of his game is all right.
Here's another question: who's the best backup to Kane, Watkins or Tony?
We'll find. Well, I think Tony is there's no comparison. There's no direct comparison. What Harry Kane is a wonderful footballer. He's got a great footballing brain. He's a lovely striker of the ball. He sees a pass and he can deliver on that. And he's got that sixth sense, being in the right place at the right time to get goals, be amongst the goals.
Yeah.
Tony's an up and at you type centre forward. A proper handful. Centre halves would not enjoy playing against him. And I think Tony's in front of Watkins right now.
And a final one, Stephen and Wigan. Morning, guys. Do you agree with me? To win a major tournament, and Germany is major, you need 3 to 4 world-class players. England have 2, Bellingham and Kane.
I would answer that this way. When I was playing for Scotland, we were always accused of, you know, coming up short. We never got out of group stages. And that I agree with. Who's
Stephen and Wigan.
I agree with Stephen, because I think to do well on the biggest stage, you need 5 or 6, you know, to win a tournament. You need 5 or 6 top men. And I think in Scotland, at best, we maybe had 3 or 4 going into any of the World Cups I've played.
What have England got?
England have got, you know my definition of world class. No, they don't have 4 or 5 world class players right now, but they're very, very good players.
And neither
players.
Do the opposition, by the way.
No, that's right. That's my point.
Yeah.
They're playing against weaker nations.
Yeah. Listen, has he won you over? Do England win this? If they fired on all cylinders?
Do I think they win it? I think they should win it.
I don't even think they should, will they? I mean, have you got your mind now focused on Southgate with the trophy?
I admire, because everyone only wants a debit column, not the credit column. So I'll start with a credit column. I admire Southgate for lots of things, and the manner in which he deals with the media, the manner in which he's got rid and broken down the barriers of the lack of harmony inside the England camp and people wanting to play for their country. I don't admire him for the manner in which he sets a team up to go and win tournaments. So I think if it comes down to a game against an opposition like the French, where they're prepared to do certain things that we're not, I would always pick the French to beat us in those instances, unless the lessons have been learned and we're still seeing the same conversation.
Okay.
1-0 loss against Brazil in a friendly, who gives a monkeys? But it's the same thing that we've been seeing for the last 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years now.
And
so when you go to a tournament, you've got to be brave sometimes. And where's the bravery?
The world's most dangerous download. Outspoken with White and Jordan. From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Simon, what do you make of this? Last week, Graham, you probably heard us, we were going on about that flag on the back of the England shirt. Of course, Nike put it there in conjunction with the FA. The FA gave it the thumbs up. The new England shirt with a playful update, as it was described, of the St. George's flag has now been described as one of Nike's strongest selling England strips of the past decade since it went on sale on Thursday. Job done. It's understood it's had one of the best selling first 48 hours of any kit since Nike became England supplier in 2013. And a contract has been extended to 2030. Nike have played a blinking blinder here. Well,
I guess if you're looking at it from Nike's commercial point of view. Absolutely.
How else do they look at it?
No, if you're looking at it from the underlying positions that a lot of us have taken, including two of the main leaders of political parties in this country,
surprise, you'll jump on that.
Whether you have any value in that. No, but both sides of the equation, Sunak, and I agree with you.
No, you're being balanced. Yeah.
I'm being balanced about my observation on it. Yeah, I mean, ultimately, I believe that the FA are entirely complicit in this decision. That's hence the reason why they set up the England supporters to manifest the St George's flag in the stadium and laid the cards out to be able to achieve it. I do think it's indicative of the way that society is. I do think it was unnecessary. And tragically, Nike are going to prosper for it.
Yeah, and the new shirt, Graham, $124.99.
Which is another travesty.
Nike have won every which way.
Can you explain to me?
Way.
I know something about it. How much?
$125.
That's just for the shirt.
£125 for the shirt.
To go to
Cashpoint,
the sports shop, DW. Is it DW?
Don't start promoting.
No, it's not Sports
brands.
Direct. I went Graham, to Sports Direct to buy a Liverpool shirt.
You went to Mike
strip.
Ashley's place.
4 days ago. I paid £80. Why is that £50 more?
Because it's special.
Because it's not authentic.
I'll be made in the same...
This is a real thing.
This was a Liverpool strip.
You bought a Liverpool strip.
I bought a Liverpool strip.
You know this is front page news, unfortunately, for you.
And I paid £80 for it. Now, that'll be made in the same country somewhere in the Far East.
What were you going to say?
Because that did cross my mind. Why is that £50?
Because I've got a cross on it. £125. This is a match replica shirt. Yours wasn't.
Well, it's a shirt that Liverpool wear. It's a replica strip. What are you on about, you madman? It's a replica strip.
But there is an element of that.
Why is it 50
well, this is more?
Ask your pal Ashley and ask him.
Why is it 50
well,
quid
I
t- more?
I should imagine it's something to do with the commercial level that's been spent by the sponsors that are manufacturing the kit. So Nike have paid a lot of money, a huge amount of money into the English FA, and then what happens is they equate that back to what the kit cost is going to be.
So the supporters picking up the tab.
Aren't they always?
I can understand another fiver.
What are you, an economist?
That's £45 more.
The bottom line is that there's a reason.
It's got the same cost, same base cost to make it somewhere in the Far East.
But we're in a cost of living crisis, don't you know?
Some base cost.
Why did you go to Sports Direct and buy a Liverpool shirt, if you don't mind me asking?
It was for a charity. I said I'd sign a shirt and give them to charity, and then I got about £3 for it. But
that's shut you up.
I wasn't going to say anything. I think there's one thing you cannot talk about with Graham is his contribution towards charity. So come on, I would never say that.
No, absolutely. But that's why this is a match replica shirt. Yours wasn't.
What are you saying, match replica? Well, the strip that the players would wear.
It's as close to match worn as you can get.
No, I think you'll find...
Well, there must be a technical difference.
It's a replica strip, replica strip.
All right, have a look at it when you go home tonight.
You can have a replica car. That's not the same as the car,
It's a replica strip. They say this is a strip that Liverpool wear.
And
that's
did the guy in Sports Direct not say, you Graham Souness?
He did, yeah.
Can you leave?
He said, what are you buying one for?
Well, exactly. Oh, boy.
Our boss don't like you.
Squash 12.
Welcome to the Coliseum of Confrontation. Outspoken with White and Jordan.
Thanks for listening to Outspoken with White and Jordan. Please give us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcast from. We're back tomorrow to bring you the best of the show.